Before we dive into this episode, make sure you're subscribed to our newsletter at driveonpodcast.com/subscribe. When you sign up, you'll get my 5 favorite episodes sent straight to your inbox. No fluff, just the best insights to help you drive on. Losing a loved one in service to this country is a weight no family wants to bear. But what happens next? How do you carry on, honor their legacy, and find your own path forward? Today you'll hear from Megan Taylor, a Gold Star child whose father, Major Brent Taylor, was killed in action during his 4th deployment. She's here to share her journey, growing up with a father dedicated to service, navigating grief, and stepping up to ensure the sacrifices of those who served in the global war on terrorism are never forgotten. She's also playing a pivotal role in shaping the future of remembrance through her work with the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This is a powerful discussion about service, sacrifice, and the lasting impact of those who dedicate their lives to something greater than themselves. Welcome to the show, Megan. I'm really glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just start with, maybe if you don't mind, telling us a little bit about your father and kind of the impact that he had on, you know, obviously country, community, and your family as well.
Yeah, so my father, as you've said, he was in combat. He was in the National Guard, and he served 4 deployments overseas, and then he would go to his trainings every month or so, and that was his military service. But he was also a public servant in that he served on the city council and was later mayor of my small town in Ogden, Utah. So he was on the city council. I was very young when he served his first term there, and then served, I believe, 2 or 3 terms there before he was elected as mayor of my small town. And he served in that way as well. So both of those aspects just kind of show what a selfless person he was. He was serving the country and the community in many ways. And then just bettering it by being a friend to all of those who were around him.
So just, you know, the little bit that I know about your father, just through, you know, kind of reading up a little bit, doing my research for this episode, and also, you know, knowing a little bit about your story from our involvement with the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation, I get the sense that service was a big thing for him, being able to serve not only in his capacity in the National Guard, serving on a larger scale, the country, serving overseas in deployments, but also serving the community, which for folks who aren't familiar with the National Guard, that's kind of a big thing. Is, you know, the National Guard, you hear they get called up for, you know, all sorts of emergencies and stuff on a state level where they, you know, maybe it's a weather, you know, hurricanes, or you know, probably not so much a hurricane in Utah, but you know, you know, winter weather and those types of things, I'm sure,
right,
are issues that they had to deal with. And, you know, that's something that they, you know, probably oftentimes would get called up for. And then obviously serving on the city council and as mayor, which, you know, to me, it's kind of interesting that, you know, the mayor of a town is going to go off and now fight in a war somewhere overseas.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it's gotta be rather unique that,
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was actually, he's reported to be the first sitting politician to be killed in action since the Civil War. So really quite a long time back since something similar to this has happened. And that's just because, I mean, the only explanation I can give for that is because he loved his community. He loved the people around him. And so he made that his career, and he made that what he did. And he made sure to keep those people in mind with everything that he did. And even when he became the mayor, it would snow a lot in my town. And so there were always the plow drivers that had to be up really late on these scary roads just for long, long hours. And my father was always right there driving one of those around right next to the rest of the guys on his city administration. And that was by no means something he was required to do or even expected to do, but he always made sure that if they were out, he was out. So he really was just a selfless leader in that way, leading by example, truly.
Yeah, absolutely. When you see somebody, you know, a mayor or someone in the city council or, you know, anyone in that type of leadership position who goes out and is doing the work that they're expecting other people to do, driving the plows or
Right.
what have you. That to me just shows like that's a leader that is willing to do the things that he's asking other people to do, and especially driving on those scary roads and stuff.
Yes.
I've been up in that area a few times, and
Yeah.
they're not like the flat straight roads that we have here in Arizona where everything's like laid out like a perfect grid.
No.
There's a lot of twists and turns, there's mountains,
Yes.
there's all sorts of stuff that you kind of have to pay attention to. And if you're not 100% certain of what you're doing, especially on icy
Yeah.
roads, that could be a major disaster. So that's definitely paints a picture, I think, at least for the listeners, for myself anyways, who didn't know him, unfortunately. He sounds like a wonderful person. Paints a picture a little bit of what type of person he was. But on the family side, what are maybe some of your favorite memories of your father? Maybe that showcase who he was as a person and maybe a leader too.
Yeah, so with everything going on, he was obviously a very busy person. And I think the more I grow older, I realize just how much he had going on, because when you're younger, your parents don't really have a world outside of the family and outside of your relationship to them. But the more that I look back, I'm like, wow, he was doing a lot, but it never seemed that way to me. He definitely was busy, but when he was home, he would be sure to spend time with us, no matter how tired I'm sure that he was. He always made sure to jump with us on the tramp or chase us around the yard or whatever it was. And so that really was something that's very meaningful to me now. And he and I share a very, very strong sweet tooth. So every holiday after Easter or Valentine's Day or whatever it may be, we would always go to the store and get just all of the candy from the sales section. And so all of the nasty candy that's just pure sugar. He loved circus peanuts,
Oh,
jelly
wow.
beans, Peeps. So the extremes, I mean, really. But that was certainly something he passed along to me. And so that was something that the two of us always had in common.
That's funny. Yeah, I definitely get that sweet tooth piece of it. And what better day to satisfy that sweet tooth than the day after Valentine's Day, the day after Easter, the day
Right.
after, any of those Halloween or
Yes.
any of those other holidays where you can just go and get it for 75% off or whatever they're doing,
Exactly.
right? You can load
Yeah.
up for the same amount of money and get a ton
Yeah.
of candy. So that's awesome. That's pretty funny. And it's probably one of those things too, where you probably now on a day where you might go to the store yourself and pick up a box of candy or something that you might have done as a kid with your father, and that's just that little reminder of
Yes.
him that kind of lives on in your head, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. A more personal touch.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the reason why I bring that up is because sometimes, especially in a situation where obviously your father passed away and you're not able to share those moments going forward anymore, but those little things serve as like a nice reminder of the good times. And
Yes.
that it yes, of course it's a terrible situation. It's if we could take it back, we would. If we
Right.
could reverse time and fix all that and make it so that he's still here, obviously we would do all of those things. That's not possible. So the next best thing is to hang on to those memories and remember the good times and have a smile on your face when you break open that 75% off candy, whatever,
Exactly. Yes.
right?
Yes, I agree.
So were there any like lessons from either his military or public servant life that he passed on to you, from any lessons from his service that were instilled in you?
Yeah, I think a big one that I've taken away is just his selflessness, because he really would always focus on what the people around him needed and what they needed to hear or what they needed his help with. And that's such a huge thing that is a lot easier said than done in most cases. So that is something that I definitely learned by example from him. And it's obviously very important to take your own needs into account and make sure that those are fulfilled, but he always made sure to also take into account what those around him needed, what the community needed, and kind of looking at that bigger picture rather than just focus tunnel vision on what do I need right now, what do I want. And that's a huge, huge lesson that it's really hard to live that, but he did that, so.
That is not an easy thing to do.
Oh.
Anybody who does that is, it's a special kind of person who is
Yes.
able to do that and do it consistently, I guess that maybe that's the best way to put it, because
Yes.
maybe it's easy to do it that one time
Right.
when okay, I'm gonna think through it and this is logical. Okay, yes, I know I need to put my needs aside for this one situation, this one person, whatever the situation is.
Right.
But to live a life of that type of mentality, that's not an easy thing to do. And so, again, we're painting a picture here of who your father was and the type of selflessness. We talk a lot about that in the military, where it's selfless service is one of
It is.
those values that we talk about. And not everybody lives up to it. It's again, not an easy thing to do, right?
Right.
Now, I know being a Gold Star family member myself, I can sort of relate to a little bit of, what your family has gone through
Right.
my own experiences. And, none of us ever want to become a Gold Star family member. That's the last thing any military family wants. What was your experience like after your father's passing? You were young at that point, and how did that change your perspective on life, on military service, on things in general?
Yeah, I mean, since then, and it's been about 7 years now, it feels like everything has changed. And I mean, I only was 13 years old at the time. So obviously, from 13 to 19, in any case, almost everything is going to
Sure.
change. That's a lot of life experience that you get during those times. But with all of this, I think I've in these past years become a lot more conscious of what all of this has meant for me and meant for my family and what his service meant to him. And I think I've become a lot more involved since his passing with the military and even just conscious of his military service and what that means. Because like you said, I was very young. I was only a few years old when he left on his first deployment. And so obviously I just had no idea what that meant. I just knew that he wasn't there. And even when I was 13, I mean, it's hard to know really what that's like. And your parents don't really want you to know what exactly that's like when you're such a young age. And so he was a guardsman, so we didn't live on base. And because of that, I never really had a military community around me, kind of a support system that knew what that's like, until after his passing. So that is one thing that has come of this that has definitely been beneficial, is that I've been able to meet others like me through organizations like the GWAT Memorial Foundation or just the many organizations that exist. I've been able to meet people that have experienced having a loved one go away with the military and what that's like, and maybe losing that loved one. And we can relate on that level. And because of that, I've become a lot more, I think, involved in the military community, which has been something that I've really enjoyed. And I've gotten to meet so many just amazing individuals who either served themselves or maybe had a family member who served. And so I think I've gotten a lot better of a grasp on what military service is like and what that means for the families, for the individual. And I am grateful that I've been able to expand my perspective in that way.
Yeah, one thing with the military community that I've noticed from myself having served, but also post-service, being a Gold Star family member and a veteran, is that the military community is going to like wrap you in open arms and like take you under their wing and help you in any way that we can, so long as you want it, right?
Yes,
If that
right.
if that's something that you want, great, it's there and 100% you're gonna get taken care of. If it's something that you don't want, cool, we'll leave you alone. But that's one thing I've noticed is it's just such a big, open, welcoming community of
It
people who
is.
just really want nothing more than to help. Kind of like what you're talking about with your father, wanting to serve to help other people
Right.
and whatnot. It's like we see a family who is in a time of need. Okay, what needs to be done? We're gonna figure it out. We don't want them to suffer any more than what they already have suffered. We're gonna go out and help them. And by the way, this is not a, a week, a month, yeah, we'll help them out now because they're hurting now. This is, you're in it. This is a lifelong thing where there's going to be people there for you, for forever, because that's just the way I see it anyways, is the way the military community works.
Yes, it's such a blessing to have everyone be so supportive like that and so welcoming.
What have been some of the, and you just talked about some of the benefits. I don't want to say benefit, that's not the right word, but some of the positive outcomes that you've experienced. What were some of the challenges? That obviously losing a family member, there's that obvious grief, but were there some challenges that your family faced along the way?
I think it's kind of a challenge has been realizing that these challenges are still unfolding and this whole thing is still being worked out in our brains and kind of what does that look like for us? And especially with my younger siblings, they come to mind because I am the oldest and I have six younger siblings. So there's seven of us total, but I was only 13 and I'm the oldest. My youngest sister was just shy of 1 year old. She was 2 weeks away from her first birthday. So she really has no memories of him. And that's just so heartbreaking. And to hear her ask some innocent questions, she's seven now, just of like, what was dad like? Or I'll show her a photo of us together, my dad and I, and she'll be a bit upset because she doesn't have very many photos of them together and she doesn't have very many memories of them together. So I think that's been a huge challenge is just how to explain this to them and how to help them through this grief. And it's such a different journey for them because it's such a different stage of life for them still. So I think that with my siblings has been a challenge. And with there being seven of them, and there's just my mom taking care of us now. Of course, we have family members and community members who have been so helpful and so generous with us. But still, I mean, at the end of the day, it is a ratio of 1 to 7, and that's quite difficult. And so for me, then a challenge was being the oldest. I kind of stepped into that role as trying to help as I can in almost a parental way. So that I think is a personal challenge for me. And then for the family as a whole, it's just, I mean, what do you tell this 7-year-old as she's sad that I have a photo with my dad and she doesn't? I mean, there's just nothing. It's a hard situation.
Yeah, there's no words, really. I'm sorry is the only things I could think of that come to mind that could ever possibly mean anything. But even that seems like it falls short
I know,
of anything, and even for you at such a young age, at 13, having to step into a caregiver role like that, almost a parental type role. That's a young age to have
It
to be
is.
in a situation like that. And it wasn't something that you asked for or anything like that. It was sort of thrust upon you, and that's, I'm sorry that that happened to you too. I'm sorry that it
Thank
happened to your
you.
family, and that's. But even like I said, even that those words just seem like not enough, and for your mother, I'm a father. My wife and I, we have three kids, and I remember when our youngest was born. We kind of looked at each other like, oh man, we are outnumbered now. And we, because it used to be when there was just one, obviously that's easy because, one of us can take care of the kid and the other one could be off doing something else. And then when there's two, okay, well, we each can just
One
keep track of
each.
one. That's pretty easy. You keep track of one, I'll keep track of the other, and we're good to go. And then all of a sudden now we're outnumbered. Oh man, one of us has to have at least two, and so that became a bit of a mind shift as far as being a parent goes. I can only imagine a 1-to-7 ratio.
Oh, I know.
Your mom is Bless,
Yeah,
God
even
bless
two
her.
to seven. Two to
Yes.
seven is the law. So
That's a lot too. Yeah.
I have no idea.
But you know what? You make it work. That's one
Yeah,
thing I've
right.
found as being a parent is that look, these kids are everything. I brought them into the
Yeah.
world and I'm here to protect and provide and do all the things that as a parent I need to do for them. And
Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever I need to do to make sure that they have the best possible experience. And I'm sure 100% certain that that's what your parents did. That's what your mother
Yeah.
did after your father passed, and try to make the best of whatever situation gets thrown at you. And
Yes, I
unfortunately,
agree.
sometimes they're terrible situations. But you know, for perhaps other Gold Star families or Gold Star children who might be tuning into this episode and listening and hearing your story, do you have any message for them that you'd like to share, you know, who might be going through a similar experience, something that might help them with their struggles, their grief, their journey through this? I know each one is going to be somewhat
Yeah.
unique, but anything that you have for them?
Yeah, I would say, like you mentioned, their journey, everything, every situation like this is very unique. And I think it's important to remember that your journey is your own. And whatever your grief may look like, whatever your journey may look like, is very unique to you. And there's no good or bad. And it's not a race, of course. Grief is definitely not linear, at least not in my experience. And I think it's just being kind enough to yourself to allow yourself to take some space and realize that maybe I do need help, or being able to admit that you need to reach out to someone, whatever it may be. But I think it's just being able to allow yourself that kindness of what do I need and what does this look like for me? And it might not be the same as even my younger siblings, or for my mother, or for you, or for any other Gold Star family member. It's just such a unique experience. And I think that it's a very resilient community. Each Gold Star individual that I've met has been incredibly resilient and an inspiration to me. And I think it's just about keeping on going on, even when it seems hard. Just do the best you can, because that's all of any of us can do.
Yeah, and that's all I think anyone ever would ever ask of you is
Right.
do the best you can. And
Yeah.
yeah, the way I look at it is I think it would be perhaps a disservice to the sacrifice that was made by people like your father and the other folks who gave their life in service to this country. You know, you don't give your life in service of something that you don't support or care for or want to see grow and thrive and be better than the way you found it
Yeah.
or the way you were brought into it. You
Yes.
go and you fight for those things so that and those people so that they can be better. And I almost the way I sort of feel and the way why I do this podcast and the why I'm involved with the veteran communities, I feel like it might be a slap in the face to people like my brother who was killed
Yeah.
if I just did nothing and you know wasted away the
Yeah.
opportunity that I had because you know quite frankly why wasn't I in his shoes and you know why weren't the
Yeah.
roles reversed and you know I was
Yeah.
given this opportunity to be here and I better make the best of it because
Yeah.
otherwise I feel like that sacrifice might have been in vain and that's the last thing
Yeah.
I ever want to have happen. So, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow, I think, though,
It is.
for some
Yeah.
people.
For
Yeah.
sure. But yeah, I really like that outlook.
Yeah. And so I want to get into the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. That's where you and I met through
Yeah.
our involvement in that foundation. You've served on the divine the design divine.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. The Design
Right.
Advisory Council, and also you're the foundation's first Gold Star Child Fellow. And tell us about how you got involved. How did you meet the folks involved in the organization, and why did you want to even be involved in this memorial?
Yeah. So I believe it was quite a few years ago that my mom met Rod, and he then brought us into the project a couple of years after they had first met. So my first experience with Rod, at least that I remember, was I believe in 2021, we came to Washington, D.C., where I'm at now for school. And we came here as a family to be in a parade where they were honoring certain Gold Star and military members. So that was a really cool opportunity. Me and my siblings were here. We had a great time. We went to the Spy Museum, which is always fun. And I just remember meeting Rod and he thinking he is the coolest guy ever. And he was so kind to my whole family, to my younger siblings. They absolutely love him as well. And so about a year-ish ago, I believe he reached out to my mom and he was talking about this project with her because she also knew one of the legislators for Utah who was on a board that we needed his vote to get some of the legislation for the monument passed. So she had already been familiar with the project through that. And then he asked us if she and I would be on the Design Advisory Council, and we were, I mean, just kind of speechless and completely honored to have that opportunity. I mean, it's so amazing. It goes beyond words, I think. And so that's where it started. And then a couple of months after that, Jen and Rod reached out to me and they told me about this new fellowship program that they had, and they told me that they wanted to introduce a Gold Star Child Fellow. And they said that they'd like to interview me to have a chance for the position. And I, once again, just beyond honored. And so that's kind of how I got into the project, and it's been amazing. And I'm so grateful that I've had the opportunity to be involved with this at any level.
Yeah, I can relate. I was kind of smiling while you were talking because some of the experiences that you described for yourself were very similar to my own experiences with how I met them. Obviously, it wasn't the same event or anything like that, but I had met them a few months ago and they were just the nicest people. They
Yeah, they really are.
like I met Rod. He was standing by himself, and I knew I already knew he was a busy guy. He had been up on stage at this conference that we were at, the Military Influencer Conference in Atlanta a few months ago, and he was up on stage. He was talking, and he was giving his whole speech, and I was like, this was an impressive guy as far as I was concerned, just hearing him talk. And then I see
Oh,
him
for sure.
standing by himself. And I'm like, well, let me just go over and introduce myself and talk to him and everything. And he stopped what he was doing, had a whole conversation, stopped, took a selfie with me after. It was like, we instantly like kind of just clicked and we connected. And you're absolutely right. He's just like one of the greatest guys.
He
And
is, yeah.
having him kind of spearhead this and be the face of the organization and getting this whole monument constructed. I feel like that's the guy. He's going to get it done, and he's going to do a great job at it. So
He's awesome.
definitely an awesome person. I think for the listeners who maybe aren't as familiar with the memorial and what it even represents, tell us why you think it's important that we even have this memorial constructed. Maybe what you hope visitors will be able to take away from it when they, eventually when it's built and everything. What significance does it have for you?
So I'm just, like I said, so thrilled to be a part of this because it really does mean a lot to me. I have always loved visiting DC and I've always loved visiting the National Mall. And now that I'm going to school here, it's about a 10-15 minute walk for me. So I'm there quite frequently. I mean, that's just, if I go on a walk, I might as well go to the monuments. And I've just always felt that that's a place I can go to clear my head and just take a moment and be present. And that's the feeling that it brings to me. And that's the feeling that it's brought to me for many years now. And so I love going to these other monuments and looking at them. And I think that it is so important that we have one for what is happening now and what it has been happening for decades now, because my father is far from the only one who has been lost in these efforts, right? I mean, your brother, so many others, and those who have served as well, there are so many who we're losing the chance to honor them. We're losing precious time to let them know just how much that service means to me as a civilian and as a Gold Star child. And so I think it's very vital that we get this up soon. And I'm really excited for it. And like I said, I just hope this brings a similar feeling of peace and of healing for all who visit, for those who have served, who know someone who has served, and even just civilians, because that it's a powerful place, and I believe that it really can and that it will. So I'm so excited to see this come to life.
Yeah, I think come to life is a good way to put it because as especially from your perspective on the design advisory council, you probably have seen sketches and drafts and things along the way and maybe just seen it come from just a concept, nothing really. I mean, it's an idea maybe that you had in your head, which is different from the next person and somebody else's idea. Everybody's idea of it's going to be a little bit different. And then it grows into this thing that is this massive, wonderful, wonderful monument, you know? And I know when I had visited Washington, D.C. back in 2019, I went for a run, and I know exactly what you're talking about just why not take a walk around there? I went for a run around the mall. I went up to like the Capitol by the White House and
That's
everything.
awesome.
I was like, why not? If I'm here, I'm gonna go check out all the sites, right? So but I remember thinking I was I think the World War II Memorial, and I was looking around and I was like, where's ours for the global war on terrorism? What for this generation? And it hadn't occurred to me. I didn't even realize that there was already something kind of underway. You know, just didn't even know at that point. You know, what was going on. But in the back of my head, I was like, where is this? You know, for us. And I had visited DC as a kid, and the World War II Memorial wasn't there when I had visited, but it was the last time that I visited. And I realized that, like, my grandfather, he served in World War II, and he died before the World War II Memorial was built. And I was like, do we really got to wait this long for ours to be built? Because there's going to be so many people who miss out on realizing that the country does support this service and want to show their appreciation through this memorial. And I think it's important that it exists before the people who fought in the war don't, you know, it's
That's
only a
exactly
matter of
right.
time. It,
Yes, I agree completely. And I think Rod is always saying something similar. Let's honor these, let's build this while the people we're honoring are still here to see it,
right.
right? I mean, there's already so many who won't be able to. And that's such a tragedy in and of itself. And to wait even longer is just,
That's right. Yeah,
they
every
deserve better. You deserve better. Everyone who's served in this, who's made that sacrifice, deserves this to be up and deserves to be able to see it.
Yeah, and one thing that really, really got me with this particular memorial and the concept behind it is it's designed, or it's going to be designed for everybody who is connected to the global war on terrorism, including you as a Gold Star child, including people who served in uniform like myself and countless others, the Gold Star families, like I mentioned, the ones who didn't make it home, like your father and my brother and others. It's there for even the people who didn't who served but not in a uniformed capacity, not in the military, but maybe in the CIA or the FBI or the, you know, other alphabet soup organizations that are out there. You know, that all of those people, it's all inclusive, and it's not just Iraq and Afghanistan that those are the people that, you know, we think of those as like the big ones, but it's Anybody who served in any capacity in any of the theaters of operation in the global war on
Yes.
terrorism. So, it's to me, it's just a awesome thing because it allows everybody who was involved in that to have this place to come to, and hopefully before they need to have those honor flights like you see with the World
Yeah.
War II veterans and
Right.
a lot of them. Mobility issues and things
Yes.
like that, where they need to be pushed off a plane on a wheelchair in order to go and
Yeah.
see that memorial that was constructed, and so hopefully we can do that on our own 2 feet and,
Yes.
and do that before we
Right.
get to that age. And so
Yes.
that's the beauty, I think, of
Yeah.
this memorial, right?
I agree completely.
So let's talk about you for a minute here. How's your experience through all of this as a Gold Star child, as the daughter of a service member, a daughter of the mayor in your town,
Yeah.
and now representing the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation through your work on the Design Advisory Council
Yeah.
and as the Gold Star Child Fellow, all of these things, which by the way, I don't know if this is really been impressed upon the listeners yet. You're 19, so it's like you've got your plate full
Yes.
already, and that's a lot for anybody, but that's certainly a lot for someone young like you. How has all of this experience influenced your goals for the future, maybe personally, professionally? How has that shaped you?
Yeah. Well, I've definitely had a lot of opportunities like this to get involved with the military community, and that has been great. And I've done that somewhat professionally. I actually did an internship this past summer with the Tunnel to Towers organization in New York, and that was such a great experience too. And that was another way for me to meet more members of the military community and to help serve service members and their families. And that was a great opportunity, and I loved the time that I spent there, and I loved the time that I've spent with this foundation. So I've had great opportunities like that, and these will definitely help me in my future career, kind of stepping stones as I look towards my future and what do I want to do. And I've been able to have these experiences to kind of give me a basis of, oh, this is what this could look like, or what this career path could look like for me, or what doors may be available to me. And so that has been, there's been a lot of really great opportunities like that. And I'm still figuring out exactly what I want to do. Obviously, I'm only 19, so there's no way to know. Even if I planned everything down to the minute, it still wouldn't work out that way. But I do definitely intend to keep being involved with these different foundations who have helped my family so much, and I know they've helped so many others, and so that is something that I definitely want to keep with me as I look to the future.
I'm 42, and some days I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. So you have plenty of
Right.
time to figure
Yes, exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So, but one thing I think for you is certainly those connections that you're making through various organizations that you are doing work with. Keep those connections because
Yeah.
one thing I've come to find in my own life is you never know when that connection from 10 years ago might just come across as being like a perfect opportunity for the
Yeah.
two of you to get together. Maybe it's a business venture or
Yeah.
whatever the case may be. It may just be a perfect opportunity in the future. Right now, maybe it doesn't seem like it really makes a whole lot of sense that like, why am I even
Sure.
meeting this person? What do we
Yeah.
have to offer for each other? But
Yeah.
when time goes on, those things kind of evolve, and you eventually will get to that point where maybe there is some opportunity. And so, and I'm mentioning that too because I know just through my experience and from hearing about your experience and others that there are a lot of people who connect with Gold Star families. And for the listeners who might be in that type of situation where they've made a lot of connections, keep those connections, utilize those connections. You never know when
Yes.
eventually those connections are going to be mutually beneficial where you're able to help each other out with one thing
Yeah.
or another. So those are, I think, important connections to have, important connections to keep. Before we wrap up though today,
Yeah.
is there any last kind of message or, comments or anything like that that you might want to share with the listeners? Could be about anything, maybe about more about your experience, more about, perspective and your goals for the future, or really anything, just anything that you might want to share with the listeners to maybe help them navigate a similar journey.
Yeah. I would say for anyone going through something similar, a time of grief or loss in whatever context it may be, just remember that there are people there for you and not to push those people away. Sometimes it can be a little bit hard to reach out to others and have these kinds of conversations, even like the one you and I are having right now. But I think that's so important, and that is a way that you can really heal internally, and you can also help others by sharing your journey. So I think that that has been something I've learned. And then finally, I just like to thank all members in or out of the uniform, everyone who has served, Scott, you, and for everyone else who has done that. It means a lot to me, and I really do appreciate it. And I know that many others do, even though it might seem difficult at times and public opinion may sway, but I always appreciate that very greatly.
Well, we appreciate people like you who recognize that service and make it so that we don't have to come home the way, Vietnam veterans
Yeah.
came home to being called names and being spit on and all those
Right.
disgusting types of things that took place
Yeah.
way back when. I know for me anyways, I'm especially grateful when people like yourself, come to us and thank us for our service. It makes me feel like, well, thank God I'm here instead of back then, and
Yeah.
serving at this
Yeah.
point in life instead of years ago, when public perception was definitely different. And you never know.
Yes.
Those things
No.
could shift too. And so it's not something I take for granted. And that's why I want to thank you for your perspective. And I do that with everybody who thanks me. It's a weird thing. Usually when you get thanked,
Yeah.
the common response is you're welcome. And but for me it's like, no, thank you.
Bounce back.
Now we're in a circular loop. We're just gonna continue.
Yeah. Keep
So
going.
anyways, well, thank you
Yeah.
for taking the time to come on the show. I know, sometimes, like you said, talking about this topic is not an easy topic to talk about, but you did it with, a lot of courage, and you did it, very well, and we're able to provide the listeners and myself with a little glimpse behind the curtain of who your father was, what he meant to your family, and just the impact that he had, not just on you and your family, but
Yeah.
on your community and on the country as a whole. And
Yeah.
so thank you for taking the time to come on the show and sharing all of that. I really do appreciate everything from you. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the opportunity again. Bounce back again.